Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that I've been preaching for about 8 years in a church, and I truly don't think I've ever preached a sermon on this topic. If you get to preaching, you eventually kind of run over the same sermon from time to time. And you may be surprised to hear this, but I have never given a whole service to the topic of salvation. That's kind of a... All our Baptist friends in here are going, "What? You're going to hell, bub." But honestly, I really don't think I've ever given a full sermon to salvation. In my opinion, which I know opinions don't really mean a whole lot, but the message of salvation is where, when I speak it, I've given the message of salvation many times, more than I can count, but it's outside of the church. It's in the mall. It's at a restaurant. It's at a school. It's with a small group of people. With an individual through drinking some coffee. But that's where the message of salvation belongs, is in the world, right? Today, though, as I was praying and seeking direction from the Holy Spirit, it's like he told me, get back to the main thing for this Sunday. And that is, obviously, hands down, the main thing is salvation. Salvation is the most important thing we could ever talk about. Salvation is what shapes our life. Our life should be shaped around our salvation. We should be just engulfed with a passion for salvation, our salvation and salvation of the world. Amen? Can I hear an amen? All right. You're going to have to give me, I don't need to hear your amens, but the person here who's needing salvation is going to need you to be telling that person that what he's saying is true. So anyway, salvation, so important. What we've done in the church today, we teach nothing but salvation, and therefore we don't equip the saints to be like Jesus. The church, we're supposed to equip the saints to work the ministry, to do the ministry of Christ. So when we gather on Sundays, our goal is to equip saints to be like Jesus. And whenever we just talk about salvation every single week, to be honest, we cheapen the gospel. But there are obviously times where we need to put the meat of the gospel aside. And it, as an adult, I still like to sip on a nice glass of chocolate milk every once in a while. It goes down easy, it feels good, it tastes good, and today we're going to get back to some milk of the gospel and the main thing, which is salvation. If you have your Bible, well, you know what, we're going to turn to something a little bit. I got a lot of scripture for you, so you don't have to turn anywhere in your Bible right now, because you're going to be flipping and not even hearing what I'm saying. So I'm just going to read some scripture to you. I have three goals for today, this morning. And I only have about 25 minutes to get them in, so I'm going to work hard to accomplish these three goals. My first goal is for all of us to have a better understanding of salvation. We need to understand our salvation, right? My second goal is for us to be able to communicate this great salvation to others. Because, look, I know most of you in here are probably saved, but I would also dare to say there's some of you in here that may not be saved. And this message is for both of us, both groups. We need to, if you're saved here today, you need to understand salvation. If you're saved, you need to know how to communicate it. But my third and ultimate goal today is, if you're here this morning and you have not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day that you meet Christ in this great salvation. I believe these three things are going to happen only by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Father. So we need the Spirit this morning. As we go into that, go into the message, let's go ahead and start off in prayer. If you are saved today, let's start talking to the Holy Spirit and ask him to do what only he can do. Amen. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this amazing day that you've set up. I thank you that you have drawn everyone in here today, not by accident. Everyone in here is here for a reason, for a purpose, with a call. And I pray that that would be revealed to them today. Holy Spirit, you are the minister. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come today, minister to hearts, reveal people the truth of the gospel, and that you would get glory, Jesus Christ, for all things we do this morning. In Jesus' name, Amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In the New Living Translation, usually I teach from the ESV, but I'm going Pastor Ashley a little bit because I like the way it says it in the NLT. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Your Christian hope, if somebody ever asks you or inquires of this Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. What's that verse saying? What is our Christian hope? Well, salvation. Salvation is our Christian hope. That is what we long for. That is our destiny. And if anybody asks us of our Christian hope, we should be able to explain it. But in the 21st century church, at least the 21st century church in America, a lot of Christians cannot explain this hope. They know they're saved. I believe in Jesus, but I don't know how to communicate it. I don't know how to share this salvation. I don't know how to share this hope. And we need to have an understanding of this, because whenever we get to heaven, you're not taking your house, you're not taking your car, you're not taking your money. All you are taking are the souls that you led to Christ. It is the most important thing. So when we need to understand something, what do? We ask questions. We learned that in grade school. Of course, our teachers were super nice, sometimes nicer than our daddies. But they would say, there's no such thing as a dumb question. And our dads told us the truth. There are some dumb questions. But whenever we need to know and understand something, we have to ask the questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how? My first grade teacher would be happy that I remembered that. But anyway, these questions we need to ask about salvation. So the first question I want to answer about salvation is, what is salvation? Whenever we say, I am saved, what does that mean? What is salvation? Well, the definition of salvation, according to Webster's Dictionary, is the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger or great calamity, deliverance from enemies or victory. In Christianity, when we say we are saved, or when we speak of salvation, what we're saying is we're saved from the destruction of our souls. Are you following me? The destruction of our souls. What we're saying is we're saved from our enemy, the devil. We're saved from our enemy in the sense of we're saved from spending eternity paying the penalty of our sin. I'm saved. Well, what does that mean? I don't have to pay the penalty of my actions. I don't have to pay the penalty for eternity of my sin that I've committed. Romans 6 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So what is salvation? Salvation is not having to pay the penalty of our sin, which is death. And we're going to obviously talk more about that. The next few moments, I'm going to be explaining who can be saved, when we can be saved, where we can be saved, why we need salvation, and how to receive this salvation. And I got to just pause for a second. I heard this morning in Sunday school class that a sister came to give her life to the Lord and received salvation this morning. Awesome. All of heaven's rejoicing because of that one. I happen to believe that there's someone else. I believe that there's more. And if nothing else, it just brings clarity to our sister of the salvation that she has received. It's awesome. So, if we're going to talk about salvation, our need for salvation, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. And that's in Genesis chapter 2. Well, Genesis chapter 1 is the beginning. But in Genesis chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis chapter 2, God created mankind. We hear the story of him creating mankind. It says he created man in his own image. He created Adam, and from Adam, he created Eve. We're not going to get into the specifics of all that, but what you got to know and why we need salvation is because 6,000 years ago, the man Adam sinned. He broke God's law. God set it up in the garden. This is what I want. He set up the earth and the garden to reflect the glory of God, and he gave man the ability to reflect God's glory and to share his glory. He says, you rule, you have dominion, and all the earth was reflecting the glory of God, and Adam was a part of that. And there's one rule, so to speak. God's law was very simple at that time, and that was, don't eat of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, man rebelled against God. When he rebelled against God, he sinned against God, and that glory that he was supposed to reflect and share, he fell from that glory, just like Lucifer fell from the reflection of God's glory. Adam fell from that glory. Mankind fell, and since Adam, each and every one of us have followed in the footsteps of Daddy, and we all have this sin nature. We've all done something wrong. We've all sinned. The nicest person in here, full of sin, without Christ. Every single one of us have this sin issue. The earth was created to reflect God's glory. Hell was created for Satan and the angels who rebelled against God. But what we did as man, we took what was supposed to be eternal and the glory of God, the earth and us on it. What we did was we said, Satan, here, you have authority, you have dominion. And because we gave over our position, we had to share the position that Satan was supposed to have, which was eternal hell. Kind of a sad thing. But this is the core. This is why we need salvation, because we have fallen and mankind is in a fallen state. Every single one of us are born in sin. It's in our DNA. We're grafted into a sin nature. And because of that sin, we need salvation, or we will pay the penalty of our sin. And we can sit here and say, I don't have sin. I'm a good person. It doesn't matter how good of a person you think you are. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 2:23 says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 1 John 5:17 says all wrongdoing is sin. You may have never murdered anyone. I get it. You may have never stolen anything. But if you have ever done anything wrong, guess what? You've sinned. And I know without a doubt, if you've lived longer than a day, you have committed some kind of wrongdoing. Some of us, maybe a lot of wrongdoing. That's why we need salvation. James 4:17 says that if you know the right thing to do and do not do it, then that is sin. So not only is sin committing something, doing something bad, but we sin whenever we are supposed to do something right and we fail to do it. So there's a sin of not doing, and all of us are guilty of this sin issue. And that's why we need salvation. That's what we mean when we say we're saved from the consequences of this sin. And although Christ came to reveal that salvation to us, to save us, but because of our sin nature and the curse of sin, if a person doesn't receive the free gift of salvation that's offered, if he rejects the salvation through Christ, the fact of the matter is, and I'm not into scare tactics, scaring people into heaven, but the fact of the matter is, there is a consequence to the sin that we've operated in. We can get mad at God. Well, God's awful. He created hell, and he's going to send people to it. Whoa, no, no, no. Our actions, our decisions is what is causing us to die without Christ. I'm not going to say I'm sorry for saying go to hell. That's what mankind will have to walk in if we don't receive this salvation. According to Scripture, the Bible says that the hell wasn't prepared for us. We can't get mad at God. He didn't make it for us. He made the earth, the glory of the earth, for us to walk in and to share. We screwed it all up, and because of our actions, we now have to live in the condemnation of that sin. Now, that's condemnation without Christ. We're going to get into the good stuff in a second, but I've got to set up the bad stuff that comes along with it, right? That's right. My daughter will affirm me if nobody else will. Good girl. She's going to be a little affirmer. Anyway, the awesome part about the whole we sin, we got to pay the consequence, God made a way of escape. He sent his son Jesus. But that doesn't change that if we do not accept it, that we will have to live in the consequences of our rebellion against God. See, the Bible says in Matthew 25 that there's going to be a day where each and every one of us stand before a holy God. And Matthew 25 makes it very clear, this is not a metaphor. This is not this is representing something else, some deeper meaning. It says this is going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. We're going to stand before God, and he's going to separate two different groups of people. One group of people, he's going to say, enter in into the peace of the Lord, my good, faithful servant. You fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked. You visited me when I was oppressed, things like that. He's going to look at the other side. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You didn't feed me when I was hungry. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. You didn't visit me when I was oppressed. And he's going to say, go into, let me just read it to you, Matthew, the very last verse, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, he goes on to say that those without Christ will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, those with the blood of Christ, will step into eternal life. It's a very real deal. The very last verse of that section there says that those, the unrighteous, the wicked, they will go to a place where there is eternal punishment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. But this salvation means I'm saved from that. I'm saved from that consequence. That's what we call salvation. There's a lot of people out there, though, who believe this is true. They believe in heaven. They believe in hell. They believe there's a God. They believe all of this. The saddest thing, though, is when they say, it's just not for me. Salvation isn't for me. I've talked to many people out in public. I've talked to a lot of kids, a lot of young men, and older as well, that says, look, that's all good. It's just not for me. I can't be saved. But let me make myself very, very clear this morning. Salvation is for anyone who is willing to receive salvation. It's not just for the quote-unquote righteous people or the churchy people. Salvation is for the whosoevers, whosoever will. Anyone who is willing to say, God, I need you, I need this salvation, you are a prime candidate to receive this salvation. Mark 2:17, Jesus says, those who are well are not in need of a doctor, but only those who are sick. And Jesus goes on to say, I didn't come to call the righteous, but the wicked, the sinners. And so when people say, I've done too much bad, I can't be saved. I thought, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're who Jesus came for. The more wicked you, the more you need a, the more sick you are, the more you need a doctor. You just don't understand. I've done too much bad. I've done drugs. I don't care if you are a murdering, raping, I'll even go as far, if you have molested a child, God can save you. God can save you. He's done it. If a very self-righteous religious spirit say, no, Josh, that's too far. I know a man who his past is very, very dark. And he has fallen on his face and repented. His life is completely different. I can take you to his house. God can save anyone. No matter how far you think you've gone, this salvation is for you. It's for us. It's for the world. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Who is this salvation for? Everyone. Christ desires every single one of us to receive this free gift. It's for you, it's for your neighbor, it's for your friend, it's for your enemy, it's for the stranger down the street, the stranger in line at Walmart. And we should be about the Father's business speaking this salvation. It's what it's all about. It's the main thing. Now, speaking of this salvation, it breaks my heart when people say it's not for me. It also breaks my heart when people say, you know what? I do want it, just not now. Have you ever been in a conversation where someone says, someday I'll do this. Someday I'll accept Jesus. Someday I'll start going to church. Someday I'll do that. It's one of the saddest things anyone could ever say. When is the time to receive salvation? Now. Yesterday the answer was now. Today the answer is now. And tomorrow the answer will be now. The answer is always now to the question, when can we be saved? Now. Where can we be saved? Here. I don't care if you're in Walmart. I don't care if you're in a restaurant. Okay, I'm going to wait till Sunday so I can get saved then and there. But the answer to that is no, no, no. You need to be saved now and here. Salvation is for here and for now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That was 2,000 years ago. Listen to me. 2,000 years ago, the answer was now. And today, the answer is now. Man, it's good. No, I want to just let you know, salvation isn't just being saved from eternal damnation and hellfire. Salvation is being saved here on this earth right now from having to live a life separated from God. I am saved not only from hell, but I am saved from a hell on earth kind of lifestyle. Because I know Josh. I know Josh better than any of you know Josh. More than my mama, more than my wife. I know me, and without God, I would be living hell on earth. And I know you enough to know you without God will be living hell on earth. But whenever we receive this salvation, then we're saved from a lifestyle separated from God on this earth. And we can start walking in the blessings of heaven while we're here on earth. Going back to the whole when and where time for salvation, a lot of people like to test God's grace in this. Someday. And again, I think a lot of preachers have used this for a scare tactic, and we've tried to remove ourselves from that so much we never say it, so I'm going to say it. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know the last breath we're going to take. We don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. But you have an appointment with God. There is an appointed time for everyone to die, the Bible says. And that appointment with God, you better know that you're ready to meet him. Because if you don't make an appointment now with God, God, I need salvation, I need you, I need saved, then it's too late once you get to that second appointment. So we need to make that appointment right now. And then plus, on top of that, we get to live in the blessings here on earth of salvation. I don't have near the amount of time to get into all of that. Keep coming, and through the years, you'll figure that out. No matter where a person is, now is always the time, and here is always the place. In the book of Acts, a man from Ethiopia got saved by a pond, was led by the Lord by a man named Philip. In fact, the majority of people in the Bible, almost all the people in the New Testament, they weren't saved in church. The majority of them were saved in the streets. The majority of them were saved at someone's house. The majority of them were saved whenever a whole group of people were up worshiping the Lord and there 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 show up and the gospel's preached. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter who, and it doesn't matter when. I guess it does matter when, now. Now and here. All these questions, the whens, the wheres, the hows, the why, leads me to the, or we haven't hit the hows yet, but leads me to the final question, how can I be saved? How is someone saved? How can God save someone like me? But because it was man, and I had to fit all this in pretty quick, but because it was man who lost relationship with God, it was a man who had to gain relationship with God. Mankind lost it through mankind's decisions. We lost that relationship with the Lord. And now the only way that we could receive that back and be in right standing with God and be saved is if God himself became man. And this is the gospel. This is what the at the beginning of the Bible, it shows us the sin issue, why we need to be saved. And the rest of the story through the prophets and the history of Israel and through the gospels, it points to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so God comes to the earth as a man named Jesus, and this man is the only way you can be saved. How can I be saved? By Jesus. Through Jesus. The Bible is pretty clear. There is no other name in which man can be saved. You can't find salvation through some kind of visitation of an angel. You can't find salvation through Hinduism or Islam. You can't find salvation through some Scientology crystal clear revelation. You can only be saved and back and right standing with God if you come to God through the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." We can be saved only through him. Jesus came to the earth, lived a sinless life. And because Jesus lived a sinless life, history records very accurately the life of Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, God himself came to this earth as man and lived a sinless life, fulfilled over 300-something prophecies that was spoken of the Savior. He comes, he lives this perfect and sinless life. And because he lived that sinless life, right then he became that legal transaction that through me now, I can be the sacrifice and atone for everyone's sin. So he lived this perfect, sinless life. He died on a cross. He shed his blood. And then 3 days later, he resurrected. And if you believe that, then you can receive salvation. That's the sweet, good, I don't want to just say milk. That's the sweet chocolate milk of the gospel. It really is that simple. God came to earth, gave his life, and he conquered death. He conquered the penalty of sin and now gave us the free access to live outside of the penalty of our sin. It's nothing we do on our own. It's only what God did. In another passage, Jesus tells a man in John 3:3, he says, how can we enter the kingdom of heaven? He says, the only way is if you're born again. The only way you're entering is if you're born again. And he had already revealed the only way to be born again is through the believing of the life and death of Jesus and confessing that. We haven't got there yet, but let's keep going. This salvation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, says he died, talking about Jesus. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So hear this. Whenever you receive salvation, this born-again experience, it is a new life. Your soul, which was living in the consequence of sin, which is death, is literally reborn. Because, look, whenever you die, your body's going in the grave, but your soul's going somewhere. And whenever we receive Christ, then our soul is reborn and brought back to life, of just like in the garden, the way it was supposed to be. And we get to spend eternity with God, the Father, because of what Jesus did. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. How can I be saved? The scripture reveals us pretty detail how to be saved right here. Verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's pretty simple. You have to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ resurrected, says that God raised him from the dead. Believe that in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. Now, let me say this. Obviously, there is the confessing that has to take place. But I've also heard this preached, you have to say this thing or you're not saved, but mute people. Mute people are saved. And they didn't say it with their mouth. It all stems from the heart. I truly, look, you can say, yeah, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. The Bible says people who say Jesus is Lord, there are some that aren't going to make heaven. So what if you believe? So what if, but we have to truly in our heart believe Jesus is Lord. He died and he resurrected. I believe that. I accept that truth. And I confess, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. And whether you say it out loud or you're a mute. Now, if you're not mute, you have no excuse. You need to be saying that. I'm just saying, anyone who truly believes in his heart and confesses the lifestyle, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life, you are saved. You are only saved by grace. You're not saved by your actions. You're not saved because you're a good person. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, by grace you are saved through faith. Yes, God, I believe you are God. Jesus, I believe you died on a cross. I believe you did that for me. I believe you resurrected. I believe you're alive today. I believe that, I confess that, and now I receive the salvation that you have for me. It is life-changing because you are given a new life. All the junk in your past, the sin, the sexual immorality, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the self-righteousness, whatever it may be, all of that is washed away by the blood of Jesus if we just receive this free gift of salvation.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.